So Carl, you sit next to him so you can cheat again, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's gonna cheat. I'm gonna make it bigger so she can see it this time.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
All right. So everybody's got a new roadmap or access to one. If you need one, we've got extras up here if you want to take them home. I forgot the really pretty ones, the really nice ones that we printed off, but I'll bring those next week. We're in Proverbs chapter 13. We have 25 verses. I'm going to ask if there's anyone who would be interested in reading from time to time. That'd be really nice because I'm kind of a little hoarse today. So it's all that yelling I had to do at Crystal over the weekend. No, that's not really true. So...
He wasn't cheering for the
Colts. No, I wasn't doing that either. I wasn't even yelling at anybody. But I will say, if you have the new roadmap, I would make these few adjustments. Underneath the section called Family and Friends, we add the word men, and along with husbands, and women along with wife. The next change that we make is under God's guidance, we add the word faithfulness to the word faith. And in this section of God's guidance, tonight we may actually want to add the category which we've had in the past called humility. And then the other two that we have added over time is in This Is Our God down at the bottom, who is a firm foundation and discernment, adding just those categories. So we're up to 38 categories instead of 35, but again, just trying to keep it simple. This isn't an exhaustive list of what all we're going to find in Proverbs. I know a couple of guys at work that read through the book of Proverbs, that they read a chapter a day every month, and they could come up with a million categories, so, right? So just the more we study it, but this is a good place to start. Just a good place to start. Well, let's start with a word of prayer as we open up, and then we'll ask someone to read verse 1. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you very much for the day. Lord, we know that you are an awesome God, and we know that your word is to guide us, and your word is here freely given to us to listen to. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to gather at your feet and listen. Pray, Lord, as we study tonight, that we would see you clearly and apply you to our life diligently. In Jesus' name, amen. So do I have a volunteer to read chapter 13, verse 1?
A wise son hears his faith in a father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke.
Okay. Thank you. So the way we do these, round of applause. The way we do these, we ask a couple of questions. One, what is this proverb saying? And what does that mean in real words? And then what categories are we going to assign this to? So let's start with, what is this particular proverb saying?
The son's going to listen to his father.
Yes, the son will listen to his father. Can you pass this down, please?
No.
There you go. We're in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. And this sheet is just a guideline to allow us to assign each one of these proverbs to the categories. So that's what we're doing. Ian, could you get a pen back there on the back? Thank you. All right. Scooby's got it. Good deal. All right, so Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says that a wise son does what?
He listens to his father.
He listens to his father. Yep. And what do mockers or scorners or scoffers do?
Well, scorners do not listen.
They don't listen. Right.
Not listen to
rebuke. Yeah. So, as we look, what is rebuke?
Mock, I think.
What?
Mocking.
No.
Discipline.
Discipline.
Oh, discipline.
Yeah. Rebuke is another word for discipline or instruction.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that if you look at it, the wise son thinks of it as instruction,
mm-hmm.
whereas someone who is that scoffer is like, oh, this is rebuke. This is
discipline.
This is, yeah. So it's very interesting. It's the same words taken mm-hmm. into completely different manners by two people and their mindset.
I like that. So it's all about your perspective. If you're going to listen and pay attention, you like the instruction. If you're going to disobey and ignore it, it's more like discipline, even though it's still instruction, right? So, that said, what categories would we assign verse 1 to? Yes?
I think wise people.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Wise
people. Wise? Scorners?
Is a scorner and a scoffer the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Faithfulness.
Obedience. Yes, obedience.
Instruction,
definitely.
Definitely, under popular sins, disrespect.
We could do that. Oh, not drunkenness. Disrespect. How about this? Is there anything under family and friends that we could apply this to?
Children.
Children and?
Parents.
Yeah. You going to help them out?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, so we can assign that to, we can say that's the category of parents and children, right? All right, so verse 2 and 3 actually go together. So we'll read them together. Who would like to read that? Crystal?
A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction.
Okay. So what is that saying? What are those two proverbs talking about?
Our speech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fruit speech. Of his mouth, the person will enjoy good things.
Yeah, your language.
Reap what you sow.
Reap what you sow.
Things come from your mouth and what you sow.
Yeah. If you're constantly backstabbing someone, that will come out to eventually come around to you.
Sorry, that one was funny.
He said, what'd you say?
Make sure your brains are loaded before you go shoot.
Yeah. Brains are loaded before you shoot your mouth off. There you go.
That's a paraphrase of the first part of verse 3. That would say, yes. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's it right there.
So what categories can we assign this to?
Gift from God.
Gift from God.
Yeah.
And this is for both verses 2 and 3.
Well, you could do good, you know, life, death, and gift from God.
Yep, all three. What about faithful?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments, or?
That was God.
The scoffer is really the one that doesn't load their brains.
I like it. So the scorners are those who don't load their brains first. All right, verse 4. Verse 4 says, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are satisfied.
Sluggards and diligent workers.
Yeah. Yeah. Sluggards and thieves, diligent workers.
I think it's very telling that the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. It's like an unquenchable thing for them. Mm-hmm. So they constantly are not satisfied.
So it lends itself to this entitlement opportunity, right? I'm entitled because I want that. But you got to work for it.
Or you steal because you keep.
Or you steal because you don't.
Right.
Yeah. So verse 5 and 6, they also go together. Who would like to read verses 5 and 6?
Where did we land at 4 before we move on?
4 landed at thieves and sluggards with diligent workers.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. 5.
Yep.
You're welcome. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards him, whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked.
Okay. So let's ask the question, what are these two parables talking about?
Well, righteousness is guards, whoever's way is blameless.
Yeah.
So righteousness.
So the NIV puts it this way. It says, the righteous hate what is false. Right? But the wicked bring shame and disgrace. And then it goes on to say, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner.
Greed,
definitely. I like that. 5 and 6, greed. That's down in the popular sins area. Path?
About righteousness.
I agree. Righteousness. What about influence?
That's it.
Yeah. Definitely you have influence. If you are a follower of Christ, you certainly have influence on others, don't you?
Yeah.
And then also the wicked, underneath the type of people that are there in the first category there. The wicked.
I like what Amanda said about the path, you know, because it says, you know, righteousness is going to guard him. We have protection in making, we have protection even though
it's a walk of faith. That's the way that I would see it. Walk is your path.
Yeah, righteousness guards the man of integrity. The path that they are walking, he or she is walking.
The
influence that they have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
Wise. Would that work?
Yeah, you can put it in the wise category. Wise people are what?
Firm foundation.
Firm foundation. And now we're, you know, we're kind of seeing the value of some of these categories where we're pointing out actually deeper things than just what's on the surface, right? So verse 7. One man pretends to be rich, yet he has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet he has great wealth.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? What is that? What type of behavior is that describing?
Falsehood.
Yeah. Illusion, right? Being a hypocrite.
In my comments, it talks about the paradox of greed causes poverty and of generosity causing wealth.
Yeah. Same thing. Oh, good. Two Bibles read the same. Yeah.
Which is true, because, you know, you've heard people that have won the lottery and stuff and then won millions of dollars and they go spend it on everything and then they're poor, end up poor. And the people that are generous and really paying your tithe, if you have money problems, maybe if you're not paying your tithe, you probably should.
Yeah, it's amazing how
it just all kind of works out.
Yeah.
I don't take it as money as much as like a normal person, like he's kind of humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he's not bragging. So, you know, he kind of has wealth that way. The other guys are bragging about all that stuff he didn't have.
Yeah.
I don't really just strictly tie money into it.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
It's people.
I agree with both of those. Yeah. However, the way I looked at it was the wealth is our salvation.
There.
That's our gift, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we really value.
So yes. So
integrity.
The integrity. Yeah, so the gift being our salvation. So actually looking at these, so in verse 7, we can look at this particular proverb as a window into eternity, right? Those who have great wealth and riches, well, we're going to find out in the next verse, but those who have great wealth and riches, they can't buy their way to heaven. It's those who humbly come before Christ and say, please forgive me, I'm wrong of my sin, and they accept Christ as their personal Savior. God says, welcome. We spit on streets made of gold, by the way. We walk on streets made of gold. That's how wealthy, that's how rich our God is. The things that we actually crave and desire, they just walk on. Fun. So what categories would we assign verse 7?
Kind of like the illusion.
A gift from God? Illusion?
I'll go to number 7. Pride or fools?
Fools?
Humility?
Humility?
Yeah, greed,
faith. So verse 8 kind of runs along with the same idea. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. I really like the way the Amplified. Do you have the Amplified? Could you read that, please?
It says, the ransom for a man's life is his wealth, but the poor man does not even have to listen to a rebuke or threats from the envious.
Yeah, I like that from the very bottom. So let's take it one part at a time. The first part of that, what are we talking about? So the first half of this verse, riches are a ransom of your life.
Kidnapped and then want your money.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't the ransom of your life Jesus dying on the cross?
It is. So we can look at it both ways, right? Again, with the vision of what, with the eyes of eternity or in the eyes of today, right? Christ does say it's very difficult for a rich man to go to heaven because they have so much to give up, right? But when we give all that up, we become wealthy in our salvation, in our relationship with God. doesn't mean we're going to be financially wonderful and great. It means that we will have a peace that passes all understanding, and our words are going to be edifying and building. And
do you feel like you say when you give up that wealth, you not mean literally, but just letting go of its importance in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you have to go and drain your bank account and be a zero pauper. That is not what we're, that's, scripture doesn't teach that at all. What it does say is, don't cling to it, hold to it, and make it your baby and call it Jack or, what was it, George?
Idolize it.
Yeah. Don't idolize it. Don't put it under the covers and hold on to it. It's George, by the way.
George.
Pat it. Brush it. Call it my own. George. No.
So basically, we don't want to spend all of our time chasing money.
Well, we don't want to put all of our hope in money, right?
Yeah.
So Pastor Nate had a great message on Sunday in James, and one of the points of that whole first part of chapter 5 is that it's pointing out that we're Christian, and if we are affording the ability to go out to eat, we need to remember that those waitresses or waiters are making a $2.50 wage, right? And when we go out, we tip. On Sundays, they should be wanting to work on Sundays because that should be their most generous day. Because most of the people eating out on Sundays are people who follow Christ or are going to church and saying that they proclaim that God is wonderful to them, and it is our opportunity to be generous and not hold down and not prevent someone else from making a living, right? there's lots of arguments on whether we should work on Sunday and things like that, but that's not... The whole point is, as a Christian, we are to be generous. And that generosity, like what Margie was saying, just kind of helps... We can use our money, if we have it, for good things. We don't have to just cling to it and go, I've got to have this.
More.
I want more. But we just need to be satisfied with what we have. And, is that mine?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to verse 9. It says, the light... Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't even assign that one, did we? Wow, I got all caught up and lost in something else. So where are we going to assign verse 8?
One place I find, but it was greed. Yeah.
So the second part of it, it could be under simple.
Mm. I was going to say, I went to people. I went to, there's a wise person. And then I did poor and needy.
Yeah. So I put it under humility, again with the eyes of eternity, being poor in spirit and choosing to be humble. That I don't have to pay attention to the threats because I have a peace that passes all understanding in my faithful walk with Christ. If I have one, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying if we do have a faithful walk with Christ, right?
And it can't be stolen from you.
And it can't be taken away, right? When we put all of our hope and trust instead of in the corruptible things of money, and this is going back to last week's Proverbs, right? If we don't put our hope and faith in this little wallet, I mean, we have to pay our bills and stuff like that, but I don't cling to it as the only thing that can bail me out. It's Jesus Christ that is more important.
You're not King Midas, you don't sit and count your money every night.
Do
I? I said you're not King Midas, you don't sit and count your money every night.
No, you don't sit around and count your money.
Would you want to, though?
Just kidding. No. That'd get boring. So I think we're ready for verse 9 then?
Yes.
All right, verse 9.
There we go. Now you're on track.
All right, verse 9. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out.
In the first part, can be put on good life.
Good life, our speech.
So my commentary says that in ancient Israel, an oil lamp would be the only source of light at night. Mm-hmm. Without it, a person had no way of seeing the path in front of them. So with that spin, I think what this verse is saying is if you continue with your weak, with your evil ways, you're not going to see God's path for you.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens to your influence? Yeah. A righteous is going to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, right? As people who follow Christ, our goal, our mindset each morning should be to wake up and say, okay, if somebody looks at me today, will they see Jesus? Right? We're supposed to be the lighthouse. It's not just the church that's the lighthouse to everyone. We are the lighthouse, and the church is just where we gather, and it's really bright, right? All the lighthouses come together at the church.
We get our oil, or then it's filled with oil at the church,
yeah.
So we can shine our light all week.
Yeah. That little song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning." So what categories would you assign 9?
Path, influence.
Path, influence. Righteousness.
Good life.
Good life. Our speech. How about faithfulness and obedience? When we are being obedient, we, as followers of Christ, when we are obedient, our light shines. But when we disobey things that we know God wants us to do, and when we disobey, our light shines much dimmer, doesn't it?
You lose your saltiness.
You lose your saltiness.
Mm-hmm. It might be commitment, too.
Commitment? It's a very good one. How about verse 10? Who would like to read that? Go ahead.
Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice.
Yeah. So what is that saying?
I'm not really sure what that is. Would you guys have pride? You pronounce that strife?
Strife?
Strife. Is that like?
Fighting.
Like fighting.
Quarrel.
Okay. So basically, the person doesn't listen, there is no pride. And the person that does listen has wisdom.
Yes.
So basically, you listen to them.
Yeah. If you're listening, you'll be seeking advice, and you'll be if you're wise, you're seeking advice, and you're listening to what others have to tell you.
Obedience.
Yeah, there's a good category for that. 10. Verse 10 could go into the category of obedience. What other categories can it go into?
What did you say simple was?
Simple was, so in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, simple was determined to be those who are sinners but are, the way I understood it was, they sin, they're not perfect, but they're wanting to walk this path of righteousness, right? So basically someone who's like me, someone like you, who has accepted Christ as their Savior, they're still trying to make good decisions and go down this path. I wouldn't necessarily describe myself as a wise person at that point, but I would say I'm striving, I'm working really hard to be wise, but I make mistakes too. So the simple are easily swayed. They're not completely firm. I mean, they've given their life to Christ, but they're still swaying back and forth, and they're kind of on this
just
boat.
Young.
And they're very young, impressionable, just waiting to, yeah.
You guys are like looking at me when you said that?
No, I didn't. I was looking at the time. So it's one of those things where I'm a very simple person, and sometimes I choose wisely, and sometimes I choose poorly, right? I do sinful things, and I try not to. That's where the simple comes in.
Okay, yeah, so basically, somebody that is just very simple, they're not.
Yeah.
Really smart and not dumb, but they know just enough to get themselves in trouble.
Correct. I know just enough about God's word that I know that, right? As opposed to the scorner who has completely rejected and the fool who's turned their back and they ignore. They know what's right and they just ignore it.
Counsel.
That would be good.
I used to tell my kids to shut their mouth and open their ears.
That works too. How about our speech? So in the category, the third category there, human speech, this proverb can really be applied to both good and evil. Listening, talking, communicating, good communication.
I put in a few categories too.
Put in a few categories?
I put it in humility. Because it talks about pride.
Yeah.
And I talked about influence because wise would take advice.
Yeah. Influence. Very good.
And then I put in on obedience too.
Yes.
Those are the things I can look. Go
to
the top of my head.
Yep. Instruction.
That's
not good. So verse 11 says, dishonest money dwindles away. Excuse me. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Easy come, easy go. Yeah. If we look at this verse in the eyes of eternity, how would you describe the verse then?
Wait, Lisa.
If you look at this verse not just as so what Tom says, and I completely agree with it. Again, we're doing the now, eternity, right? Tom made the statement, easy come, easy go, right? Dishonest money, it all goes away. The things that we do dishonestly have no value, right? The things that we, those who gather money little by little and make it grow, in the eyes of eternity, it's the things that we do on a daily basis. It's not the big things that we do. I mean, those matter too. But it's all the small things. You're at the grocery store and you open the door for the little lady who needs to get in. And you might help her get over to the cart that she needs to get out and move on. That's a blessing, right? That's a small thing. Those small things... Our behaviors show others who Christ is, right?
The little things add up.
All the little things add up.
When old ladies fall out of their car, and people run over and pick her up.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they just move along. That has happened to me before.
Yeah. You're talking out of experience. You saw somebody else do it.
Yeah. I fell out of the car. Yeah. I see two men run over and pick me up, and they just went on. I couldn't get to the building. I had to get somebody else out of the building.
There you go.
So if you were thinking about this as dishonest, and you know, about righteousness, so basically say the, you say if a person, you know, ends up in trouble and ends up in jail, okay, and they all of a sudden they come to the Lord and they really follow the Lord real hard while they're in jail, you know, they say all the right things, they do all the right things, but then as soon as they get out of jail, they go right back to doing what they were doing. You know what I mean? So that to me, that'd be doing it along the way.
Right.
And then the person that you know, that just does it little by little, you know, gradually over time, they keep it, they hang on to it, and they have something to back it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a good analogy.
Well, if you stole the money that you got, you probably want something. You're going to tend to just spend it all.
Right.
But if you're working for it, it's not so easy to throw it away.
Yeah, you're going to hang on to that.
Yeah. Sounds like a few
years. Yeah. So what categories would you assign this particular proverb?
Obedience.
Mm-hmm. Diligent workers.
So I have a question when we're thinking about it from eternity. So someone who finds Jesus and believes in Jesus and is saved, but doesn't so much read their Bible every single day, but they're still a believer and they go to church. They do good things once in a while, but they're just like surface Christian, I guess, compared to someone who's diligently studying and growing and trying to be as close to like Jesus as they can. Mm-hmm. Will they reap different rewards in heaven?
So the short answer to that is yes, and it goes like this. I believe the Bible teaches that once we ask Christ to be our Savior and ask Him to forgive us of our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and we are called His children. Okay? So I'll use an example from my life. For a period of time, I didn't read my Bible. I didn't study. I didn't. I listened. I went to church, but I didn't sit and study. I didn't sit and read. I didn't do daily devotions. I can't say that I don't do daily devotions, but I do a lot of study and I do a lot of reading. I do have other devotional things to do now. So the second part of that question is, will they receive different rewards? Yes. So those who have been diligently working and laying up treasures for themselves in heaven, their behavior, their attitude, their knowledge that they are presenting to others about God's word, teaching others, and I'm not using just their influence to others, right? Where I didn't do anything, they were laying, storing up for themselves treasures in heaven, and I sat back here and did nothing. When I get to heaven, because I've asked Christ to be my Savior, will I get to heaven? Yes. Will my pile of riches to give back to Christ be as big here as this person? No, they won't. And so, yeah, that's exactly what happens. But it doesn't. But they don't. I want to be real clear. They don't lose their salvation out of that, right? Because I've had conversations with people at work that they do believe that you can lose that.
If they lost it, then that would mean you're saved by your deeds, and that's not true.
Correct, because God said, "I won't let you go."
Yeah, I mean, the thief got into heaven. He had been saved about 15 minutes before he died.
Yeah.
Jesus said to him, "You'll be with me in paradise."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Today.
Today.
Yeah.
That's the end of Matthew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great discussion.
But a lot of the treasures that we build up, we also get to use those treasures here before we go. Uh-huh. You know, the type of people that we are and the things that we do,
you know, we reap rewards while we're here from that kind of stuff.
Basically what the Bible is saying, like, reap what you sow.
I like the idea that church is more than just a bunch of friends coming together. It's a bunch of Christians who are striving to live like Christ and struggling and finding encouragement from one another. That's the whole purpose of this building, right? It's to find encouragement with one another. Did we cover all the categories to assign this to? I don't think we have. Good. So what categories would we apply that?
We got fools and diligent workers.
Yep.
Greed.
Yes.
Obedience.
Obedience. Greed.
Somebody said faithfulness, right?
Faithfulness. Instruction. What about counsel?
Is honesty on here or not?
It is not. Compassion, honesty. Those aren't on the list.
Dishonesty
and illusion. Yes, disrespect and illusion. So verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. As I read...
Hope deferred, does that mean no hope?
That means discouragement.
Discouragement?
Yeah, being discouraged. Hope deferred. I have hope, but it's over here. Yeah, discouragement makes your heart sad, right? Makes it sick. But longing fulfilled is the tree of life. One of the commentators that I was reading about in this particular verse, he made the statement, live in reality. Live here. You know, we can always hope and want and whatever, but God has us right where we are right now, and putting our faith and our hope in Him causes our longing, our desires — that word longing means desire — my desires to be fulfilled in the tree of life. My fulfillment in my life, my happiness, my joy, my excitement should come from the fact that the tree of life, which is Jesus, a relationship with Him, right? And growing in that relationship. Definitely a gift from God. Where else could you put this in other categories?
I put it down as a path.
A path, yep.
I added my own category earlier tonight. I remember this is our God, and I called it salvation.
Salvation?
And I put several things in it.
Good.
I was looking at my notes in my Bible, and the tree of life goes back to actually chapter 3, and it was stating that the expression tree of life is a metaphor referring to temporal and spiritual renewal and refreshment. I like the way they put that. So we have hope, and sometimes we pine over something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that, what I envision that making your heart sick, you know, comes. And then when that thing comes to fruition, just how refreshing it is, how life-giving it is.
There you go. Yeah. When that great thing happened, finally.
Right. But it also, I think it's, it could be.
I have a great example.
It's a good warning, though. Hope deferred. I mean, like, going back to what you said, you know, we have to be careful what our hope is. Hope needs to be in Christ.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
You have a great example.
I don't remember it. That's why I didn't say it.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of like the day, as the days got closer and closer to Crystal and I's marriage date, it would get closer. And I'd be anxious and really excited. And then I'd go to sleep at night thinking, man, God, are you going to come back, or do I get to get married? are you coming back, or do I get to get married? And then the next day I'd wake up and it's got 3 more days and she's going to be my wife. I can finally say she's my wife. Got 2 more days, 1 more day, the big day. She's my wife. That's awesome. The next day I was ready to not be wife. I'm just teasing. Right, but that anxiety, that anxious, the longing fulfilled was, we're married, and now forever and a day later, we're still married.
32 years.
Congratulations.
All right, so let's move on to verses 13.
Where did we put 12?
Oh, 12. Did we finish 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. We're missing the whole boat about assigning the categories tonight.
We've lost the conversation.
Right.
Hey, it's not me.
Path was mentioned.
Path, righteous, faithfulness.
Yeah, I get that one.
I also put down wise God.
Oh, yeah.
He only allows us. He brings us into what we can do, right? With his help. Mm-hmm. He presents something to us, but he doesn't show us the whole plan for our life at the very moment, right? Mm-hmm. We take it one step at a time and just follow him. And that's very wise on his part. Otherwise, we could look at the thing that we're going to be doing in 20 years and be thinking, excuse me, and become completely discouraged about how am I even going to get there. Well, you don't need to know how you got or you're going to get there. What you need to do is have a relationship with me today, Jesus today, have a relationship with him and walk with him, and he will get you there in 20 years. You don't need to know where you're going.
I was kind of thinking of that too in a little bit different way, that he knows the desires of your hearts, but he also knows when to fulfill them. So if you're not supposed to do this one thing yet, he doesn't discourage you. He just doesn't fulfill it yet.
Yeah.
And his timing is perfect.
Yes.
Which we get impatient with sometimes, but yeah.
Right.
I know,
he never discourages.
Yeah.
He just leads us down a different path. Distracts us.
So have we finished up 12? All right, so verses 13 and 15, 13, 14, and 15 are all together. They're talking about similar concepts. So he who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects the command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. And good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. What are the overall concepts that we're talking about in these three verses? These three proverbs.
He's talking about choosing your path.
Yeah.
Mine here under my notes at the bottom says, God created us, knows us, loves us. It only makes sense then to listen to his instructions and do what he says. The Bible is God's unfulfilling word to us. As with an owner's manual for a car, if you obey the instructions, you will run right and find the power to live up to your fulfillment, purpose, and something. Through a course, through a close relationship with God. If you ignore God's instructions, you will inevitably have breakdowns.
Yep.
That's kind of what I got out of it.
That's a great summary of all that. That's good.
I love that because you constantly have to go back to what God's word says, especially in today's society, because there's so many voices out there saying things. You have to be careful, you know, even, you know, on Facebook and all these social media accounts when you read things, you know, because some of it, even though it sounds like it's God's word, it's not his truth, really. I mean, you go back to whatever scripture they may be referring to or something, and sometimes you're like, that's not what that says. So you really have to know, you know, the law of how you have to know his word. You have to go back to his word.
I don't like on Facebook when they say, if you don't do this, God will punish you if you don't share it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, God's never said that on Facebook, so I know it's not true.
Right. That's a delete button. So what categories would you assign 13, 14, and 15?
Oh. I think the sign
is
a path.
Path, for sure.
Instruction.
Yes. I like firm foundation as well.
Instruction, obedience, firm foundation. What about faithfulness?
Scorners.
Down in the bottom, in the sixth section, popular sins, we could say disrespect. Verse 16, it says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. So verse 16, what is that saying? Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly.
Plans.
Wise and fools.
Wise and fools. I saw it as influence and faithfulness. And obedience.
The word self-disciplined is also in the Amplified. I don't think it's on this page.
It is not.
That's a good one, though.
Is that in reference to like the freedom of man?
Yeah, self-discipline. So remember our definition of wisdom. It's at the top of the sheet. It says wisdom equals, or is the sum of, the fear of God, knowledge, and understanding. You could almost say that this individual that we're referring to is on the path, right? A prudent man, one who's working to be wise, is seeking knowledge and acts out of knowledge, the knowledge that he has gained.
Diligent.
Diligent. So our last one for the evening. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Think back in the day, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have, you know, they had people, runners, walking between the towns. If you have the town crier, if you have someone delivering a message on your behalf and they are a wicked individual, are they really going to do anything to help you? Or could they possibly destroy you?
Misconstrue
what you say. So the idea here is that a trustworthy envoy brings this idea of healing, right? Encouragement, building up, coming alongside, building the bridge.
Influence.
Verse 17 can definitely be assigned to influence. How about our speech? Yeah, good in life, evil in death.
Righteousness.
Our words. How about the wicked? Scorner, yeah, you could definitely take that, because you know the scorner is not someone you're going to want on your team, really. They're not going to, you know, someone who's completely rejected and doesn't like you or what you stand for isn't going to be someone who's going to be helpful.
Wicked messenger, it's a fool.
Yep. So, looking at your sheet of paper, we haven't got all the way through the chapter yet, but with what we've gone through, the first 17 verses, kind of give me an idea where you see the bulk of the numbers, the bulk of these proverbs falling into what high-level categories?
Faithfulness.
Yep.
Obedience.
Faithfulness.
Yeah, faithfulness, obedience, path, plans. Yeah, the idea that so God's guidance, righteousness, and our influence on people and the words we say. That's a pretty nutshell. When I looked at this last night, I got to thinking, you know, each one of these chapters we have all of these little popcorn, right? We've got 25 Proverbs in this chapter, 31 in the previous two chapters each. And these are just a small amount of what Solomon came up with God's help, right? But all of these little nuggets, they kind of highlight specific areas. God's guidance, God's plans, God's overall involvement in our life. And what?
Each popcorn bucket has a different flavor.
Yeah, and yeah.
Tonight's flavor was God's guidance.
Tonight's guidance. Well, let's pray. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Just thank you for being here. It's hard to go through Proverbs and keep it exciting, but I hope that the conversations are exciting and the things that we talk about are thought-provoking. I have found myself throughout the last several weeks as we've been going through these being challenged at work in my thinking and in my conversation as I'm studying to just sit here with you guys tonight. And it's challenging to me to try to live by each one of these principles. So we can't do it all, right? That's why we get refreshers. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And I thank you for the opportunity to sit and read your word and just talk about the implications of what your word says among friends. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a desire to follow you. We pray, Lord, that our desire would be fulfilled and that we would live a life pleasing and completely dedicated to you. My, what things we could change in this world. What things you could change through us in this world if we did that. Pray, Lord, that you would just give us wisdom this week. You would watch over us. Help us to walk with you and keep our words in a manner that people would see a change and a difference in the way we talk, the way we act, and the way we behave. Help others to see you in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we go, can I ask Lori Lee's